I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. And he's still answering. He is still answering. Pastor Jamal was all in my text today. I think that's my text today. Can we just be quiet for just a moment and allow Holy Spirit to just, I think sometimes we get used to this. And we should never get used to this. Because when we get used to it, we don't raise our expectations for the greater glory that God wants to reveal. There is so much more. And we can't take, we have the saying, we said heirs, not church as usual. And then not long ago, God was saying, it's not church as usual for people who come to visit, people who come fresh and new. But has it become church as usual for those who come on a regular basis? I just want you to think about that. How you come, I'm not gonna say that, but that's not in my notes. But how do we come that says, God, I honor your presence in this place. And I have great expectation of what you desire to do today. I don't care what you did last Sunday or the week before. I want fresh manna. I want to see you in ways I've never seen you before. I want to hear you in ways I've never heard you before. So I posture myself as I drive on this property. I posture myself as I'm getting ready in the morning with great expectation. I'm not going to come in late. I'm not going to be slothful. I'm not going to be just complacent and feel a wonderful feeling and then go home and that's it. I want all he has to reveal of himself in this place, whatever it takes of me. And that is going to require a greater death. Y'all, it's not about us. We say that all the time, but I don't know that we know it's not about us. That when we walk through the doors, we understand this as a sanctuary, a holy place, a dwelling place. But even beyond the place, do you recognize that you are a sanctuary? You are a holy place. You are a dwelling place. That's what it tells us in Ephesians 2. So he is, you are being built into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Not the building, but the church, the body of Christ, the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Do you get that? Do we really get that? Or is it just business as usual? I long for the day. This is what I read in Exodus. God says to Moses, tell the people I'm coming. Tell them consecrate, I'm coming. And when he came in such a way that they were, then we go over, still in Exodus. And they have built the tabernacle according to God's specifications. And it says, when they took the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies, the priest could not stand to minister because the presence of God and the glory of God was so strong, they couldn't do anything. Then we go over to the building of Solomon's temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, somewhere around in there, and it says, and when they took the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the very presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, days. The priest could not stand to minister because the glory of God filled the temple. And then I read, Daniel's been praying, and the angel comes, and it says, in the presence of an angel, his breath left him. Now, in the presence of an angel, and even John on the Isle of Patmos says, there's an angel, and he fell on his face. An angel. And yet, this place is filled with angels. And we say we want the glory of God, but at what price? At what price? I long for the day when I pull off of Erie Avenue that I can't, I can't do anything, I can't speak anything, I can't move, I can't do anything but fall on my face in the presence of a holy, righteous God, that his presence, his glory so fills this place. But it's gonna cost something. It cost a greater death. In Malachi, that's not where I was going, but let's turn to Malachi. Malachi 3. We're still talking about collaborating with God. And I don't have a title for the message because I never know what I'm going to say until I say it. So think of one later, right? Malachi. Genesis, Exodus, Malachi. No. Malachi 3. Starting with verse 1. And I'm reading from the New King James Translation, and it says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, the Lord whom you seek, the Lord whom you seek. How many seeking? The Lord whom you seek will suddenly, say suddenly, when we're coming into this season, God said, this is a season of suddenlies. Suddenly, you can't really prepare for it. You can't brace for it. It's like, it just happens in a moment. He said, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Not the building, his temple. Greek lesson. Paul writes, know you not that your body is the temple of the living God, right? That word in the Greek for temple is naos, N-A-O-S. And it's not the whole temple. It refers to the Holy of Holies. It refers to the Holy of Holies, the very dwelling place of God. You are the temple. We are the temple. How are you stewarding God's house? Selah. How are you stewarding God's house? So the Lord says to Malachi, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. How many delight in the Lord? We delight, yeah, we say. In whom, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he will come like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. Why? He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. Come, Lord Jesus. We just want your presence, Lord. Oh, I just want to see your glory, Lord. But can you really? If he came the way we say we want him to come, would we be able to stand, because he's coming to purify. He's coming as a fire to purify. Last week, Pastor Jamal was talking about Satan desiring to sift. And many of you who follow me on social media know that for the last 4 months, I've probably been talking about the season of shaking, sifting, and shifting. And while we know we have an enemy who wants to pull us away from the body, get us separate so he can pick us off one at a time, got personal experience of someone being deceived enough to think, I don't need to be connected. And what the enemy was allowed to do in that isolation and in that separation. Y'all, we can't be lone rangers. Cannot go renegade. We need one another. We must be connected, because you can't function the way God has called you to function without the rest of the body. It's not my ministry. I don't have a ministry. God has a ministry. I belong to him, and what he's called me to do, that's what I will do. But I cannot do it by myself. And if you're not in place, and you're not in place, and you're not in place, and I'm just use a real practical example. If I got to be on that computer every week, I can't be as effective where I'm supposed to be. Or we'll use another example, because everybody think they just call, we all called to the nations. But if those who are called to the local house are striving to go to the nations, what happens to the person who's supposed to be able to is sent to the nations? They can't go because everybody else is out of place. So Apostle John is able to do what he can do in his metron, in his sphere of influence, with the measure of grace that God has given him to operate, because we got people who are willing to be here in place. So he doesn't have to be concerned about going somewhere. So my question is, in this time, I'm going to get back to this in a minute. But my question is, in this time of shaking, sifting, and shifting, are you in the right place? Doing the thing that you know beyond a shadow of doubt that God has called you to do, the way he has wired and called you to do it, in the place that he has called you to do it, the way he has called you to do it. I need all y'all. Yeah, I said that. The English teacher said, I need all y'all in place for what is about to happen. Oh my God, in the earth, we gotta be in place. That's the shift. That's the shift. Shifting in place. Let me get back to sifting. So we know we got an enemy. Pastor Jamal covered that beautifully last week. Go back and watch the video if you weren't here. But there is also a sifting that God is doing. And we have to be able to discern, is this the devil or is this God? So let me, I do have some notes, I think. So let me, and I'm not going to be long. Let me give you this real quickly. Sifting in the physical sense is a process that separates coarser materials from the finer materials. It is a refining and a purification process. We just read in Malachi, when God comes, he's coming to purify. So some of the sifting that you may be experiencing is God. He's getting the hard stuff out. He's getting the big clunks of stuff that don't belong there out. There's a purpose for the sifting. There's a purpose for the sifting. It is to refine and to strengthen your faith. Things are shaken. Because God said, expect the shaking. I'm coming to shake. Anything that can be shaken is being shaken. How many people feel like they've been in some earthquake, some shaking and bacon, shaking? There is a purpose for the shaking. He's getting rid of all the stuff that we kind of picked up along the way. And he's letting you see where you really are in terms of your faith. In light of everything that's been happening in this nation, if I hear another believer say, I'm scared about what's going to happen. If I hear another believer anxious about government, politics, the economy, healthcare, any of those things, that tells me where your faith really is. God allows the shaking, not because he needs to know, but because you need to know where your faith really rests. So don't resist the shaking. And when stuff starts falling off, don't try to pick it up and put it back on. If God is doing the shaking and stuff is falling off, he wants it off. Leave it off. There's a purpose for the shaking and the sifting. And it's that shaking that is going to get all the big, clunky, muddy, gross stuff out so that we can be those vessels that are pure and holy before the Lord. That we can be the vessels and the individuals and the body that God designed us to be. That's what this shift really is all about. We've gotten, when I realized there was a possibility that I would be speaking today, I was sitting at my dining room table. We'd gone out to dinner celebrating Niecy's 50th birthday. And woo. And when I got home, and I had gotten a text from Apostle John that afternoon that said, be prepared to teach. I'm like, okay. And I'm sitting at my dining room table, and I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, what are we doing? And the first thing he brought to mind was the parable of the wheat and tares. Now, the landowner, the master, had his servants go out and plant some wheat. You know the story, Matthew 13, in case you think I'm not going to give scriptures. It's in the Bible. Matthew 13. And they plant the wheat. And the Bible tells us that at night, when they were asleep, the enemy came and planted some tares. Now, you really can't tell the difference between wheat and tares while it's growing, until it gets to a certain stage. But what I looked at, tares has the ability, if you consume the tares, it will make you sick. It can take your life. It's designed for that. It can make you vomit, it makes you sick. But you can't tell the difference while they're growing. You don't know what's the wheat and what's the tare. I'm old enough to remember these television shows. What's My Line? I Got a Secret. Remember to tell the truth. And in the shows, they would have three individuals. One person who really did something phenomenal, and the other two are imposters. And the panel had to figure out who the real, the authentic person is. And at the end, they would say, will the real John Doe stand up? And you see people looking at each other. And somebody would stand up and sit back down. And somebody would half get up and sit back down. And then the real person would stand up. And I feel like almost even God is saying, will the real church please stand up? This is a season. We came into this year, and God, this is what this shifting is about, because we're going to see who's real and who's not, who's of God and who's the pseudo whatever, the pseudo church, because there is one. And we have to be very, very mindful and discerning, because you can't tell the difference in the wheat and the tare. So you can have all the bells and whistles and all the smoke machines and all the great worship songs, and you can have the appearance but no power and no presence. But I don't know the difference, so I'm caught up in the hype and the pseudo, and I ain't got the word, and nobody's teaching me how to get the word for myself, so I believe everything that somebody's saying across whatever platform they have. Tear. Designed to destroy. Then there's the real, the authentic, the true bride of Christ, the true body of God. That is more about presence than anything else. That is being led by the Spirit. That is coming in such an awesome way that we can recognize this is the presence of God. And there's a posture that I need to take. And when I leave this place, this equipping place, as Pastor Jamal was quoting from Ephesians 4, that he gave some to be apostles, some. He gave some to be prophets, some. He gave some to be evangelists, some. He gave some to be pastors and teachers, some. Now their role is to equip the saints. There's everybody else. How many saints we got in here? Saints, 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 saints. All right. To equip, and I'm going to give you another little Greek lesson, and then we'll see where we go from here. Where is my definition here? Greek lesson. The word equip. King James says for the perfecting of the saints, and that just means the maturing. But this word in Greek means to mend, make whole or perfect, mature. And it's used to setting a bone. It's a term that's a medical term. It's used for setting, a bone gets that broken or out of joint. You got to put it back in place. That's equipping. That's one of the meanings of the word. It's used for mending nets. It means to make something completely adequate or sufficient for something else. It describes the act by which people or things are properly conditioned so that you can do. So the fivefold, those apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, equip, get you ready, get you in condition, and whether the stuff needs to be mended so that you can work properly, mend some things, train you, equip you so that you do the work of ministry. Why? For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come, till we all come to the unity of the faith, one faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, mature, complete, whole man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the goal. That when people look at the authentic church, they see Christ. They hear Christ. They feel Christ, who is love. So the question is, when they look at you, what do they see? When they look at us collectively, not heirs, but the body as a whole, what do they see? And it takes each person allowing the deep work of Holy Spirit, dying to self and to saying yes. I say yes again. I say yes again. I say yes again. I don't like it right now, but I say yes again. Whatever you got to do, I say yes. Because because you have called me and you have chosen me and you have equipped me as a part of something so much bigger than I am. And I say yes. But if everybody's not saying yes, then the body will function, but will it function optimally? If everybody's trying to be something they weren't called to be, then who's going to be who you're supposed to be? Who's going to do what you're called to do if you're trying to do what somebody else was called to do? We are in a crucial time in this world. Crucial, crucial, crucial. And it's not about who's in the White House, who's in the Senate, who's in the Congress. It's not about any of that. But I tell you, when the church arises and is the church God intended her to be, intended us to be, then we don't have to make laws to tell people to stop doing certain kinds of things. It's about transformation of the heart. You can put all the laws you want to put in place and make it difficult as you want to make it to be for people to not do something or to do something. If they gonna do it, they gonna do it until the heart is changed. And until they smell the sweet smelling fragrance of Christ on us and are drawn to that. What I know in this time of shaking and sifting and shifting is when the shaking gets more intense, we in the shaking, but it's going to get more intense, y'all. And when it gets more intense, part of that is they're going to be coming to us. Maybe. I just read an article. It was very interesting. It implied that people believe in the relevance of the church, but they don't trust the church. Help me make sense of that. Even people who don't go to church, non-believers believe that the church is relevant, but they don't trust it enough to come. That's a problem. Like I said, that's a PR problem. So what do we do to change that perception? What are we allowing God to do in us so they don't look at what is put out there in terms of, I can't trust this leader, I can't trust this, but they just want money, they just want whatever, they just want what, so that they can see the authentic church of Jesus Christ. I have posted something on Facebook. There is a difference between the American church and the church in America. But God, who never fails. He can never fail. And what he has purposed before the foundations of the world were laid, he will achieve. We can trust that. The church will be who he ordained it to be. The church will be the place where people are coming for answers and clarity and direction. And every need being met. Are you in place? God is shifting. And for some, you have walked through a process and you are not the same person you were. And God is saying, and the question I want to ask you is this, but do you know who you are now? Do you know who you are now? Because that's the person that needs to show up and be who God created you to be, to make a difference in the earth. I don't want to use I was having this conversation with Holy Spirit, and he said, but that's not who you are anymore. Because I responded to something out of who I used to be. And he caught me and said, but that's not who you are anymore. So we're not responding like that. He said, it's kind of like muscle memory. Until you are sure that you are the new person that he called you to be. And that comes with some testing. Now think about Abram to Abraham and the process of changing Abram to Abraham. And it's a process for all of us. I just will say this. The moment God speaks a prophetic word to you, you in process. You are in process. It's not going to happen tomorrow necessarily, but you are in process. And the more you resist the process, the longer it's going to take. Let's not resist the shaking. Let's not resist the sifting that is of God. So you have to know the difference. Is this the devil or is it God? You got to be discerning. Some of you, some of us, have been doing something so long that it's comfortable and it's easy. And God is saying, let it go, because I got something else. Some have settled in a place, because this is one of the things God said to me was in Romans 12, Paul is talking about, you know, we ought not think more highly of ourselves than we are, but according to the measure, the metron of the faith of God, that God is giving you. And God said, with a lot of people in my body, it's not really a question of thinking more highly of themselves. It's a question of not thinking highly enough and how they see themselves, so they don't step into what I have prepared for them because they don't think they're equipped or worthy or adequate. But if I gave it to you, if God called you to it, he sees you through the blood. He knew you before the foundations of the world. He chose you before the foundations of the world. He called you before the foundations of the world. He equipped you. And all of this is getting you back to who he's always known you to be. But you keep holding on to who you think you are, whether it's that somebody was created out of trauma or created out of whatever. We hold on to this identity. And then when God says, no, but this is who you are, you're like, no, stop it. To stop it. When God says, this is who I've called you to be, this is how I've gifted you, this is how I want to use you in the earth, just say, I don't get it, but okay. He'll show you. Just say, okay. Okay. Here's the thing, y'all. If God has spoken to you, you can't unhear him. Can't unhear him. You can try to act like you didn't hear, but you can't unhear. You can try to flick him off like a fly, but you can't unhear. Therefore, you are responsible for what you heard. It is a season of God's authenticating his church. You know the process. You want to get into your bank account online. And you put your username in and your password, and then they send you this, we need to verify it's really you. And so now how do you want us to verify? Do you want us to text you? You want us to call you? You want us to email you? But we gonna make sure it's really you. And God is saying, I'm gonna make sure that everybody in the earth knows who's really mine in this season. I'm verifying my church. But it's going to cost everybody something. It's not comfortable. I don't know. Anybody been shaken, been sifting, been challenged, been what in the world is going on? God said, don't think it's strange. Think it not strange. And I'm going to share this and I'm going to sit down. Almost going to sit down. I want you to write 5 words down for me. We're going to... Almost. 5 words, and then I'm going to tell you what I want you to do with them. Now, when I'm working with writers, I ask 5 questions before they start to write that they must be clear on. And then the Lord said, it works in life, in ministry. So the first word is mission. And I want, this is a homework assignment, I'm a teacher. This is a homework assignment. What, why are you here? Mission has to do with your purpose. What is the why behind everything that you do as it relates to the kingdom? What is your purpose? The second word is market. This has to do with your people, your audience, those who you are called to serve. I'm not called to serve everybody. You ain't called to serve everybody. God sent me to the nations. Well, he sent you to a segment. He sent you, but he didn't call you to all the nations. You are called, there are a specific group of people that you are to reach, that you are to reach. Do you know who those people are? Do you know who your tribe is? Who has God called you to serve? Why are you here? What is your purpose? Who has God called you to serve? The third word is metron. It's a Greek word. It's M-E-T-R-O-N. And it just means measure or your limit or your sphere of influence. So where has God placed you or called you to serve the people he's called you to serve? The fourth word is message. What message has he given you that will allow others to know him? And it doesn't have to, listen, y'all. Know the word, but you don't have to quote Bible and verse to everybody that you come in contact with, because a lot of folks don't want to hear it. But you can speak the word, and they not even know you're speaking the word. You can create an atmosphere and they can't understand. Well, what is that? When I was teaching, I used to play worship music continually in my classroom. And when I first started doing it, the students would come in and they'd go, is there music playing? What's that music? And can we bring a CD? I said, my CD player, my music. But after a while, they got so used to it. If it wasn't playing, they were asking. And I had one student come in my class. She came in my room during lunchtime and she looked around, she looked at me, and she said, is this church? And I wanted to say, did you get up and get dressed to go to church this morning? But I had to say, yes, it is. Because there was something about my room that was different from other people's rooms, that they were coming in at lunchtime, or they would even come in right before they would take the state test and all of those tests, say, can we just sit in here? Can we just pray in here? Will you pray for me? I wasn't preaching. I just set an atmosphere. So what is the message that you communicate of God's love and light and life, the way you communicate it? We got to get used to, and I've said this before, not thinking I got to do it like somebody else who's got a similar call. It took me a minute with this whole prophetic thing, because I would see prophets doing all this, and I'm like, am I supposed to do that? And I remember the first time I ever preached, and I thought, I had my example. I thought I had to growl, and I thought I had to holler, and I had this out-of-body experience, like, who is that? And I just, in the middle of the sermon, just burst out laughing, because I didn't even recognize who I was. But I said, who is that person? And when God said, I didn't wire you like them. Be you, boo. How do you communicate his message of love? And that's really the last one, is method. What way has he given you? Because it's not always going to be on a platform like this. It's not always going to be in the four walls of the church. 90% of the time, it's not in a platform like this. God is shifting us into position. And the one thing he said to me, and I remember sharing this, hearing this when I was on Pastor Jamal's live, it said, as you are allowing him, listen for the click. Listen for the click in the spirit, and you'll know. This is the place I've always belonged. And in this season of your life, it may not be what you thought it was. 9 times out of 10, if God spoke something to you 20 years ago, what you thought it was 20 years ago and what it is very different. The last thing I want to say, did I say, okay, second to last, third to last, I'm almost last, I'm almost wrapping up. That for some of you in this place, God is going to remind you of things that he spoke to you 10, 20, 30, maybe even 40 years ago that have yet to come to fulfillment. You may have seen inklings and glimpses and a little bit of fruit here, but God said, I'm bringing it back to your remembrance now because you are the person who's ready to step into the fullness of it now. You thought you were too old. You thought you missed your season. You thought it was over. I didn't hear God. Maybe I was mistaken because I'm not seeing anything that looks anything like what he showed me 10 years ago, 20 years ago. He's reminding you now. Get still with him this week and allow him to bring some things back to your remembrance that you laid aside or buried or put packed in some boxes and put them on the top shelf of the closet or whatever we did with vision and those prophetic words, because this is a season that God is going to do what he promised. He is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he has purpose to do it, but it ain't gonna look like you thought it was gonna look. It's not gonna be in the place that you thought it would be in. But he's gonna do it with your cooperation. All right. Last thing, think it not strange, and I'm just gonna share this, and I'm done. I don't know what's in my notes, but I pray that you have heard God say something to you. He's authenticating, but it comes with the price. It comes with some purification. It comes with some fire. It comes with some breaking. It comes with some sifting. It comes with some heat. Y'all, the heat is on. The heat is on. The heat is on. So don't resist the heat. Don't resist the heat. I'm trying to find, I got notes and things all over the place here. All right, I'm going to just read this verse real quick, these verses from Hebrews 12, 25, and it says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates a removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Whole nother message. For our God is a consuming fire. And this is what the Lord says. My child, you look around and ask, what is going on? How can this be? As if what is happening around you and even in you is some strange thing. But did you not tell me that these things, did I not tell you that these things must be before my son returns to claim his bride? Did I not tell you that I am returning for a glorious church, one without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing? Did I not tell you that in the season, more than any other in history, that I would reveal, I would shake, I would come into my temple, my house, cleanse first my temple. So rejoice in all that is happening around you and in you. Rejoice in the shaking. Rejoice in the cleansing. Rejoice in the breaking, molding, and remaking. For it truly is in love and mercy that I come. Even impending inevitable judgment, I come to love you back to myself, into my perfect will, and to draw you into my holiness. How many times must I tell you it's all because of love? Just rest in the assurance that I am the faithful one who will perform my word. I will be my word. Listen, I will be my word in your life. I have said, be holy, for I am holy. Holy I am, therefore holy you shall be. And all I do and all I allow is to return you to that place of total integration with me. Whole I am, so whole you shall be. And even in this part of the process, I will settle for nothing less than all of you. I am coming for total possession of that which is mine. And all that you see happening, all that is being shaken, not only in your personal lives, but in the life of my body, is for this one purpose. I am bringing my church back to the place of true repentance. It is my goodness that leads to repentance. It is my love, for my goodness is revealed in my love, that love that leads to repentance. It is my love for you that allows you to see where you are in relationship to my word in your life. Where my bride is in relationship to my desire for her. So don't be afraid to look at it. It is my love that opens your eyes to see what is truly in your heart. Don't ignore it or turn away from it. For in this, my goodness that leads you to a changed heart, a changed mind, a changed direction, a changed life that leads my bride back to my glory and holiness so all can see. So don't think it strange what you now see and sense in the earth. It is still my love wooing you. It is still my love forming and reforming you. It is my love shaking, and that which shall remain will be of me and me alone.